Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you find a place you like to stay. This time, sending you my regards from Minsk in Belarus. And once again, I'm recording from my park close to my home. One of the things that I found that I need the most in each place I stay is actually a park, a morning park, as I call it. A place where I can walk and not think about too much, do some exercise as well. So I found this magic park very close to where I stay. It's like a jungle inside of the city, very big and non-organized that I really enjoy. And I hope I find really good parks also in the next places as well, because this is really changing my day for the better. So today, what we're gonna talk about is the interesting topic of accommodation and the subsector of accommodation, which is dorms. How to stay basically in hostels that have dorm beds. We're gonna talk about the advantages, the disadvantages, some common etiquette to do it, and some tips that I learned from many years of staying in dorm rooms. So I hope you find it useful. Enjoy. Hi again from Minsk, and the topic, as I mentioned before, is staying in dorm hostels while traveling. So let's begin with a small introduction of the topic. Traveling alone can be expensive, and mainly because of the costs for accommodation. Sadly, or not sadly, a room costs what a room costs, which means that it doesn't matter if you're two people, three people, one person, the alternative cost for the owner of the room is more or less going to be the same, which means that if you're traveling alone and you want to get your own hotel or hostel room, it's going to cost a lot more, almost twice as much per person than it would be if you would travel as a couple. There are some researches, by the way, that show that a lot of the marriages in the world are staying alive just because of this specific phenomenon of accommodation, which means that, let's say, if someone gets divorced, then they're gonna have to have now pay for two homes. So that keeps love alive everywhere in the world. And sadly for you, as a solo traveler, private rooms can be really a drag on your budget. And so the idea is that, especially on the short term, if you're only arriving for 5 days, four days, you can't really get a deal on your own private room, which means that you're either going to pay a lot on a private room in a hostel, or the concept of dorm beds and dorm rooms are going to be a total lifesaver for you, as it was for me in the past. So I have to say that not only that the idea of a dorm bed, and let me explain for a second what it means. It's basically a room that has a lot of beds, and you're just getting your bed and you're sharing it with sharing the room with other people. Usually it's 4 bedroom or 8 people in the room. I've even seen places that have 16, 24, 48, and so on and so on. But the idea is that over here you only rent your bed and not the entire room, and that allows for a very, very big saving in the cost. So other than saving in the cost, it has another very nice advantage for a solo traveler, which is it makes your life knowing people a lot easier. So let's say you're renting your own private room, it's very hard to know people, even if you're in a hostel. It's not as easy as imagine a situation that you're renting a bed and with you in the room there are other 2, 3, or 1 person. It's really even, you know, polite to start a conversation. So that will allow you to meet a lot of new friends as well, other than saving a lot of money. However, staying in dorm rooms also have some disadvantages as well that we will cover here in this episode. So I would just say, let's say in general, if you're really into the conclusion in a nutshell, that sleeping in dorm beds makes sense the more you are more on a budget. Sorry, again, there is a huge bee that almost killed me. Those things that happened, fish that are flying all over me and huge wasps that are... That's what happened when you record episodes in parks. So that's life. So let's move on to... Let's get back to what we're speaking about, which is basically, who is it for? So sleeping in dorm rooms make a lot of sense if, one, you're on a budget. Two, you don't care that much about the quality of your sleep, which we'll discuss later about why is this important. And three, you're in the mindset of meeting new people. So if you have a combination of those three all in one place, dorm bed are absolutely the only solution you should opt for. However, dorm rooms are not for you if, one, you really need your quiet space and your private space, you are not in the mood for interactions with other people, or you very much need high quality of sleep. That is actually relevant for digital nomads who are working on the road. Because if you're working on the road, you need the next day to be in a situation that you're much, much focus on your work. And you actually might lose a lot more money that you saved on a private room. If you're staying in a dorm, don't get good night's sleep, and then the day after, you're not that productive. So that's basically maybe the process that happened to me, that before I was very much oriented into dorm beds, but the more my projects became a little bit more substantial and so on, and the more, I have to admit also, it's a matter of age, the more I'm older, I have less tolerance for dorm beds. So this is something that I've used extensively in the first 4 years of my travels, and in the last 2 years I'm almost not using, but I have to admit that in the first 4 years it was really a lifesaver. And I'm still using it from time to time, mostly for the social element of it. Let's continue to the disadvantages of dorm beds and how to mitigate them, because there are some really substantial disadvantages. That's what happens when you buy something in less of a price. Let's go over them for a second. So the first disadvantage is lack of privacy and your own space. So dorm rooms can be annoying if you're not in the suitable mindset and mood. I've been there and it happened to me as well. The idea here is that you're not alone. You're with strangers that hopefully are going to become friends, but people are watching you that you don't know. There might not be enough sockets to charge your phone and so on and so on. People's shoes might smell bad. The bed could be inconveniently cramped together and close to each other. So you need to be in a special mood to enjoy it in a way. I would just say that we all have those days that we kind of need our privacy and to chill and have our space. In those days, basically, if you're in an agitated mood, sleeping in dorm beds is probably not going to be the way to go, because dorm beds also have some surprises and you want to deal with the surprises as they come and actually make them into advantages. So go to dorm beds when you're in a good mood. That's what I would say. The idea over here is cheer up, smile, and accept. This is the big word when you're using those places. Accept sharing a room with happiness, with other people, and your experience will be good. If you're going to be grumpy, it's not. Simply not. Okay, so we talked about the first disadvantage. Let's jump to the second one. The second one is security. Mainly your belongings. It's harder to secure your stuff. So the security in dorm rooms is lower than in a private room. And that's 100% true. The idea over here is that there are a lot of people that you don't know that have quick, easy access to your stuff. Whether it's your equipment, suitcase, your electronics and devices and so on and so on. 99.9% of the people traveling will never think about stealing anything from you, but 0.1 will. And over here, you're increasing chances of losing stuff. So basically, I recommend picking a hostel and a room that has lockers. You want the lockers to be big enough to for your suitcase as well, in case you're leaving it, if you can. Not a big deal, but it's nice to have a locker, at least to secure the most valuable stuff that you have. I would also recommend, when you're in dorm rooms, to increase your awareness to the possibility of theft. And also, one more thing that is even more common than theft is losing your stuff in dorm rooms. Just for the idea is that since everyone is putting their stuff all together mixed, it's very likely that you're gonna lose at least one sock when or your soap when you leave the room, but maybe sometimes some other stuff as well. So the idea over here in dorm rooms, in order to secure your stuff, is to be aware that you want to secure them and also be very organized to know where you put everything in the room, because you're not alone and things can get messed up. So I would just say that the organization part is very important, the awareness part. And for organization, it's not only going to decrease your chances of not losing stuff, it's also a lot more polite to your roommates to be organized and not spread all over the room with your stuff. So that's a disadvantage that you have to know, the security disadvantage. On personal security, I have to say that I have not really encountered any stories of bad things happening to people staying in dorm rooms. So over here, although I've encountered many weird situations on security itself, I have not encountered any problems. It's usually only the belongings. Okay, moving on to something that relates to what we talked before, another disadvantage, which is the awkward situation. So if you're using dorms extensively, the statistics show that you're bound to encounter some awkward situations over the years, like I have. It could be weird people who seem insane and homeless, to people having a nervous breakdown, like someone that woke up the entire dorm room and the police arrived in Mexico City about 5 years ago. That was super cool. You're gonna have some people with really bad hygiene habits. Some people are even gonna perform sexual activity in the room. So again, it's not gonna happen in the vast majority of your stays in dorm rooms, but if you're gonna stay too long in many, many places, chances are you're gonna encounter one of those. And that's life, you know. Some people have issues, especially people on a budget like you. So I would just say that for the girls, there is a really nice concept of a female-only dorms. I would use it, definitely. And for the guys, hope for the best. Now, one of the things that you can do, other than hoping for the best, is to pay a premium for a room with less people. So as I mentioned before, there are dorm beds with four beds, 12, 16, which is the one I dislike the most, 16 beds. The idea over here is that when you pay a premium for either a room with less beds or even a hostel that has its beds more pricey, then it's kind of a filter to keep the people that are not so in sync with themselves out, because the crazy people are kind of opting usually for the most budget places, because it's hard for crazy people to make money, apparently. So the idea over here is, if you pay a premium, you kind of greatly decrease chances of awkward encounters. Now, what I would say more than anything is acceptance. We talked about this before. So accept that something will happen that will not put you in risk, but will make you feel very uncomfortable. That's part of staying in dorm beds. That's why I recommended coming there in a good mood. And I would also say, don't confront when it happens. I would just simply change your room one day after, or just accept that you're not gonna have good night's sleep for one day or whatever, and that's pretty much it. Okay, moving on to the next disadvantage, which we've mentioned, and for me, this is the biggest disadvantage, the lack of sleep. So the quality of your sleep will almost 100% suffer in dorm rooms. So the idea over here is simple. The combination of people arriving late, either from a party or checking in late or checking out super early in the morning, even packing their bags in the morning and so on, turning on the lights and so on. Common issues, other common issues, for example, is snoring, those have a lot more likelihood of happening other than the awkward situations I've discussed before. Those situations are almost 100% going to happen. Those situations of early checkouts, late check-ins, people coming back from a party, that's like more than 80% chances of happening. So the idea over here is that if you're a traveler, this is part of the fun. You don't have to sleep that good. You're not working or whatever. But if you're working as a digital nomad, this could be a real drag. And this is the main reason why I don't use dorm rooms anymore. Over here, I can just say that you can greatly increase the quality of your sleep, again, by picking a hostel that is not party oriented, because party hostels tend to have people that are looking for a party, coming back late, drunk, and so on, and picking a room with less beds. You're a lot less likely to have someone that makes noise in a 4-bedroom than in a 16 people bedroom. Actually, in a 16 people bedroom, you're 100% likely to have some of the issues we talked about. So pay the extra price if you care about the quality of your sleep. Also, the 4 bedrooms are also connected to what we talked before. There is more security because there are less people there. For your belongings. I would just say that if your sleep is easily disturbed, consider sleeping with earplugs, which is one more thing you can do. Let's talk a little bit about something that connects with this, is the days of the week. So I'm preparing you in advance. Hostels tend to be a lot more full on a weekend. Those are the party days. Usually people fly to a country and stay only the weekend, so you have a lot more people in hostels in general on the weekend. So what I do is basically on the weekends I either recommend take, and you care a lot about your sleep, which you shouldn't, but it's the weekend, but if you do, so either take a private room or choose a hostel away from the city center. Or even better, what I do on the weekends if I stay in dorm rooms is to go to a small village and pick a hostel with dorm beds there. People are not party oriented there. They just want to prepare for their walk tomorrow. So that's kind of my thing, to get away from the city on the weekend. If you stay in dorm beds, go to a small village. People are going to be a lot nicer and less crazy there. Okay, let's move on to the best platforms to find dorm beds. So osowall.com, and we're going to put the links in the site. You can also see it in our resources article on the site where we put all the resources for digital nomads and travelers. Hostelwall.com used to be the best one, the most common one. They had a little bit of competition from a site called hostelbookers.com, which is also alive now, which was later purchased by Hostelwall. So they seem to be on a good ride for becoming a monopoly. But recently, Booking.com is becoming the biggest player. So it's really squashing the market. So now a lot of the bookings are, even for dorm beds, are being done on Booking.com. And you can even find dorm rooms on Airbnb.com. So we talked a little bit on all the platforms you can use to find a dorm bed. And I would just say that one of the things to know over here as a new topic is the best type of dorm hostel for you. So we talked a little bit about the variance between hostels, and you want to, basically there are 3 types of hostels that I came across. You have the party hostels that you probably want to avoid if you want good night's sleep. You have the factory hostels that are big hostels with usually hundreds of dozens of rooms. Which are pretty good for sleep. And you have the family hostels. So picking the right one, the family hostels are kind of apartment-looking hostels that are kind of quiet and cool as well. Those are my favorite. So over here, it's important to avoid whatever type of hostel you don't like. And by the way, if you're looking for party, do go for a party hostel. But the idea is to make sure that you adjust the type of your hostel to the type of person you are. That's basically it on the types of hostels and how they connect to dorm rooms. I'll give a quick brief on the rooms themselves. So we talked about the smaller the number of people in the room, the less crowded it's gonna be and the best quality of sleep you're gonna have. I would also say that some hostels offer bigger rooms, for example 20 beds, and I once stayed actually in a 55 people room in Hanover in Germany, and those are not really bad. Over some size of people in the room tend to have cubicle style to them that gives you a lot of isolation. Even if you're with 50 other people, it's kind of sections within the room. So you might be surprised that when you go over 16 people in the room, the rooms are more isolated. But 16 is the worst number, and 8 is not that good as well. I try to opt for 4 every time I have a chance. Now, I recommend that one thing you do before you book the room, if you care about the quality of sleep and your personal space, is to look at the pictures. The pictures will pretty much, and each aggregator, booking.com, hostelworld.com, has a pictures on the site of the room themselves. And over there, you're going to see how much space is there, what's the distance between the bed, and so on and so on. You're going to get a feeling of the place. So look at the pictures if you care about the quality of your stay in the dorm room. One more thing you can do is also to change a room in a hostel in case you feel that you want something else or there is not enough personal space. Dorm rooms do change substantially. Even dorm rooms with the same number of people might have a lot more space because the organization or the internal design is different. So have a look in the other rooms and you might want to consider asking for a quick change. Okay, so let's move on to a little bit of etiquette of dorm rooms. So the idea over here is that you can only be responsible for your own behavior. So here are some of the basic rules you should probably follow while staying in dorm beds. So first of all, as for the lights, I would totally recommend not turning off the lights before 11 or midnight. Unless everyone is already in the room and wants to sleep and already in their beds, it's simply not good for people who show up in the room at 10:30 to be in a situation that they have to turn on the lights. As for turning on the lights, try not turning them on once they're shut. Use your phone for light and so on, because especially if you're arriving late after midnight, turning on the light is totally rude and unacceptable. Okay, moving on to arranging your stuff before lights off. So as we mentioned, lights are going to be off usually at 11, 12 and so on. The idea over here is that don't go out of your room late of night, and then if you have an early checkout, go back to the room and start organizing it, your bag, when everyone is sleeping. This is totally something you shouldn't do, or even organizing your stuff for a shower and so on. If you're coming back late, just prepare everything in advance so you have easy access to it, especially if you have plastic bags that you have to go over before you go to the shower, you pack your stuff. The idea is to be considerate to your roommates. So again, organize in advance if you have to check out, especially if you check out early in the morning. And also organize in advance your stuff, so even if you come back late to the room, you don't have to disturb everyone. Okay, so let's move on to the next etiquette rule, which is basically when you enter the room late at night with your friends, even if you're in a dorm bed and you have three friends there and five are people that you don't know, don't feel like it's your room. So when you enter late at night, don't start whispering, talking, and so on. It's even worse sometimes than speaking. Simply don't speak after the lights out in a dorm room. It really sucks for people who are trying to sleep. Okay, let's say you met someone you liked, so that's super great. Don't bring them to the dorm room to spend the night. Just get a private room if you feel like it, but you know, it's common politeness. The other thing we talked about is to keep your stuff organized, because first of all, it's not polite, as we mentioned before, to mess up the room. People don't want to see your stuff and your wet clothes are being hanged all over the place. But also it will greatly decrease chances of people taking stuff from you, and more importantly, you forgetting your stuff. Imagine that you have to check out really early in the morning and there is no lights and you have to organize your stuff. Keep everything organized. It's going to be a lot easier for you. The next etiquette rule is to accept and to be friendly. So if you're staying in a dorm room, Don't expect the same level of comfort and control as you would have in your private room. Things might get challenging. Don't be grumpy. And if you're sick, for example, or agitated, just get your own room. Better for you and for other people with you as well. Now, if you're choosing for a dorm room only because of the budget, if you can't afford a private room, and you have the mentality of, I wish I would be alone now, it shows, and it will affect your mood. It will also make people kind of not really understanding what you're doing there. So don't. Just be nice, smile, contribute to the good vibes of the room, and say hi to people. It's a good habit to greet people before you go to sleep with them, in life in general as well. So I guess that the last etiquette is that about the toilet and the showers. If you have not so many toilets and showers in the hostel or in the room, usually some rooms have their own toilets and shower, don't take your time. Don't shower for 20 minutes if there is only one shower, and leave the shower and toilets as you found them, as clean as you found them. I have to say that I haven't decided yet on the very, very big dilemma, moral dilemma, of should you use other people's shampoos and soaps that are being left in the shared shower. I'll leave it to you to decide. You have your own moral ground as well. And if you want to be really nice, you can try using the showers off rush hours, which means early mornings or late night. It will make life easier for everyone. And do take a shower when you stay in dorm bed. It's going to be nicer for everyone. So that's basically it. This is an interesting topic. I think everyone should experiment in dorm beds. Some people should probably avoid them because it's simply not for them, and they're not going to feel comfortable there, and that's also okay. It's a very nice solution, a budget solution for traveling, so definitely something that you should consider. And good luck in your travels, and have a good sleep. Bye-bye.